What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
You need fooling, baby, I'm not fooling. I'm gonna sit here, fast and fooling.
I tried. I felt like the song, it was begging me to try and sing. And normally, under better circumstances, I'll give you a better job of it.
I'm gonna give you my love.
All right. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. McMonagle here with you back in the overnights. I got you for another 2 hours as we take you till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. We got Ray on the other side. I'm taking your calls on the Mets to start the show, and we'll get into the Yankees a little bit right here as it was just a deflating night in the Bronx, unable to capitalize on momentum. I mean, that's how I view last night. It's not a devastating loss. The Mets were dealing with a devastating loss. That's why they got the open of the show. I don't think it's a devastating loss. I don't think it's one that's going to keep you up at night. But it's just a deflating one. It leaves you feeling exactly the same way you felt before the Twin Series started. Like, they better go out there and take at least 2 of 3. Even a sweep doesn't get me overly excited, but maybe that'll start to turn the worm. And they couldn't get to the game last night. And you get to the game last night, the offense just not enough. And yes, Joe Kelly's an excellent starting pitcher. And again, you know, we see this with pitchers when they come to Yankee Stadium. They give it their best. His fastball was up a couple ticks. He threw a 98-mile-an-hour fastball past Aaron Judge last night, who's still not himself. And the offense just didn't do enough. In the final inning, they try and get a rally going. You get the double play from Rice. They hit a couple balls hard, both of them caught. I think they hit 3 balls over 100 miles an hour. All 3 of them were outs. That's not an excuse. Just plain and simple, not good enough. This was an opportunity on some level to beat a good starting pitcher. Right, you knew you could beat the Twins when they were throwing, you know, miserable, you know, starters out there. You knew you were good enough to beat the Twins when you could pound them for 9 runs. And that all-or-nothing offense theme is going to continue to drag this team. It's going to still be talked about. Now, I don't think that's it. I don't think they only rely on the home run. They did score some runs other ways. I think they have the ability to win in other fashions. But, again, shut down by a good starting pitcher. Just shut down 1 run. The positive of it is Cam Schlittler pitched really well. He gives you 5 innings, 1 run. I thought that his breaking stuff was by far the best we've seen it. I don't think it's even close. His secondary stuff was by far the best. Again, it's a Minnesota Twins offense that showed in the first 2 games doesn't react well to fastballs, getting beat by fastballs consistently. And he throws 99, so you kind of felt like it was a decent matchup for him. Never mind the fact the Twins just stink overall, but they had a real tough time in the first 2 games against fastballs. So you were looking for Cam Schlittler to go in there and throw 99 past everybody, but he also was really getting that curveball down in the zone. So it was a good performance from him. That's the positive to take on it, as you've now seen Warren give you a good performance, Rodon give you a good performance, Cam Schlittler give you a good performance. Hopefully the starting pitching can find a rhythm. If they could ever get Max Fried going, because that's clearly what they need. They need Max Fried to join this party of starting pitchers that have gone and given you some good outings here. But overall, just not good enough. And then you get to the De Los Santos thing that everyone seems to be questioning. I had no problem with it. I'll be totally honest with you. I didn't. I know many did. Like, you're desperate for him to go to Leiter? Has Leiter been better or has De Los Santos been better? Like, the guy came in with a 1.67 or 1.57 ERA, and he's been pitching pretty damn well. And yes, it's part of the issue with this team. I don't disagree. I said as much this morning. They don't ever go off the script. And the script was that right-handed part of the lineup, if they have to go before they get to the big arms at the back end, if it's in the 5th, 6th inning, middle of the order with the right-handed bats, they were going to go to De Los Santos in that changeup. That's what they decided. That's what they did. I don't see any reason why last night to get off of that game plan, if that's their game plan. It's not like anything in the game dictated that needed to change. And he had Weaver and he had Leiter, who's better against left-handed hitters, up for the left-handed batters in that and later in the order. He's got to come in and get outs. He didn't. Rice is unable to make the pick on the great play from Volpe. Just, you know, not good enough. And we could talk about that as a major talking point if you'd like. Because I know we all want to question everything Aaron Boone does. And certainly I was screaming at the television why he didn't pinch hit for Wells. I mean, that if, you know, we end up finding out that Goldschmidt is injured with a knee. And he told the postgame reporters that he's hoping it's a short thing and he doesn't have to go on the IL. But, like, in that moment, I am screaming at the television. He doesn't pitch hit for Wells, that's for sure. And then we find out why. But, like, I have no real problem because the only two guys, like, I know for sure I'm comfortable with are Weaver and Bednar. Those are the two guys I know I feel good about. And I can't get 12 outs with them. I can't go through the sixth inning with just the two of them. So to me, De Los Santos, Leiter, even Doval, they're all interchangeable. They are. We can call one. We could say they traded for one at the, and he's supposed to be the back end of the bullpen guy, and he was a closer. He blew his first appearance, and he damn near blew the game on Saturday, giving up two runs. Like, the idea that he's been this lockdown reliever that we all know if once you go to him, the game is over, is BS. It's BS. I have no problem going to anyone in that spot. If they would have went to Doval, if they would have went to Leiter, if they would have went to Wheat, like, whatever, that's fine. I have no problem with De Los Santos going in that spot because I only trust two guys and I can't get through 6, 7, 8, 9 with only two guys. And I don't feel much better or worse about any of the other three that they used in this game, other than Devin Williams, who you clearly can't pitch in a 1-1 game. So if you want to call me and yell about that bullpen decision, by all means, call me up. But that, to me, is not the issue. Now, the issue moving forward is, after we break down the game, which is pretty much you feel good about beating Cam Schlittler, the offense not good enough against Ryan, and the offense not good enough against good starting pitching, an opportunity to build some momentum, and I feel about winning 2 out of 3 against Minnesota. They needed the series win desperately, but not good enough. They have a hell of a lot more to prove. I don't feel any different about this team than I did before. Like, I felt the same way off of losing to the Astros as I do winning this series against the Minnesota Twins. They have proved nothing to me other than they got 2 out of 3 wins. But moving forward, the issue now is if it is a problem for Goldschmidt, which is, I mean, last night's the perfect example, right? I'm yelling, I'm sure you are, that Wells, late in the game, down a couple runs, runner on first base, can't pinch hit for him. Like, they've lost Goldschmidt. They've lost Rosario, who's on the IL, and they lost Slater. They brought in, they have three legitimate, I talked about how good their bench is. It felt like just a week ago. Like, Rosario hits right-handed pitching with an OPS about 850. Slater, same thing. Goldschmidt hits 400 against them. Like, really good options in that spot to pinch hit for Wells. They don't exist. They don't exist. They're all hurt. Every single one of them isn't there. And now you look at this team moving forward, and to me, Wells has been so bad that I still want Rice to be the everyday catcher. And if they don't have another first baseman, like, this is the question now. Do the Yankees do something bold, which I don't think they will do? Or do they just do what we expect, which is maybe play now Ben Rice at first base every day and catch Wells every day while Goldschmidt's down? We'll see how many days that is, as they're still waiting to see when Judge is going to be able to play in the outfield. Or do they move Bellinger to first base and let Rice continue to catch because Wells has been that bad and play Dominguez in the outfield? Or do they do something bold and call up Jones? Call up Spencer Jones because he's a far better defender than Dominguez is. Call up Spencer Jones. I don't know how much time he's had in left field. I know he's been playing center field, but he can't be a worse left fielder than Jason Dominguez. Call up Spencer Jones. See if you get like a little bit of a spark of a young kid coming up and hitting 450-foot home runs, even if he strikes out every other at-bat besides the rare home run. I don't know. He's having an incredible AAA season. Like, that's the question to me. If Goldschmidt is hurt, how do they proceed moving forward? Do they play Ben Rice at first base every day and now Wells is your everyday catcher again? Or do they continue to keep Rice consistently getting time at catching, put Bellinger at first base, and introduce a young prospect possibly who's killing it in the minors, or just go back to Dominguez every day and left and watch him kill them defensively over and over and over and over and over again?
I mean, these are brutal injuries. They traded for these guys to add depth to the right-handed, you know, part of this bench, and they're all gone. And again, Goldschmidt, it might be something small, but when you're Paul Goldschmidt's age and you hurt your knee on a little maneuver you had to make to try and catch a tricky pop-up, and that's when he got hurt, that's scary. And I don't know where the Yankees go from there. But it's a bad loss. And the one thing I'll say is, like, I find this funny. And not that, and maybe, I'm sure if you check me on Twitter, I might have even fallen into this trap every once in a while. But, like, so many people on social media, and there's even a question about it in the postgame about the opportunity lost because Toronto lost and the Red Sox lost and Cleveland lost and everybody around them lost. So it was like an opportunity to win and take a game. Like, I find that funny. I don't know. Like, Boone was actually asked that question in the postgame. You know, with the rain delay, which obviously the Yankees had a long rain delay as well. With the rain delay, and you had an opportunity by like the fourth or fifth inning to realize that all these teams lost, does it feel like a wasted opportunity? Like, I would have laughed if I were Aaron Boone. Or I would have said, like, so if those teams all won, it would have been okay to lose and fall behind further? Like I don't understand. We got to win. The Yankees got to win. Like, the idea that that's getting so much play, everybody's mentioning it. They even asked it in the postgame. Like, if those teams won, would we feel better about last night's loss because we didn't blow that opportunity? What are we talking about? If Cleveland won and we were tied right now because of that loss, we'd feel better because we had an opportunity to jump up two games and they didn't do it? Like, people are funny. Like, we latch onto things. Like, oh, it was an opportunity to take a game up. Yeah, it was also, if they all won, it would have been not keeping up with the Joneses and falling further behind. There is no good way to lose. There are no positives. There's nothing, like, it's not worse because of this or that. The Yankees have to win. They're at that part of the season. They have to win. It doesn't matter what the teams do around them. Like, they have to win. And there's not an opportunity lost or anything. Yeah, they opportunity lost. If they all won, it would have been a devastating loss where they lost a game to everybody, and now Cleveland gained a game on them. Like, what are we hung up on? Like, we watch the standings, and we'll see what happens. But like, that loss isn't worse because the other teams around them lost. What if all those teams won? Wouldn't this loss be worse? But just a lost momentum, no opportunity. I think I said that wrong. No momentum, lost opportunity, and this offense just continues to be shut down by good pitching. I think that is the main theme coming out of this. Sure, they could beat the Minnesota Twins. This offense has got to do better against upper echelon pitching. And yes, Ryan threw a really good game. And yeah, his fastball was hitting 98 miles an hour. And yeah, he located a bunch of really good pitches. He threw a Greg Maddux two-seam fastball to Jazz, where it was almost at his hip and it came back over the strike zone. There's no doubt. He's got really good stuff. He's a really good pitcher. But there's only so many times you can tip your cap to good pitching. There's only so many times. The Milwaukee Brewers, who I might even, you know, dog on and have a little fun with how great they're playing, they face Paul Skeens and hit him around. The Yankee offense has got to be better against good pitching. It just has to be. And now with the injury, another injury, I'm curious to see how they go about it. But just a lackluster means nothing. The whole series means nothing. I feel exactly the same way I did after losing that game on Sunday to the Houston Astros. I feel the same way. Three games off the schedule, two wins, so I guess it's positive, but it's hard to feel much better about this team right now. Let's get to your calls at 888-808-1019. Justin in Floral Park's been on hold for a while. Thank you for holding on, Justin. What's up?
No problem, brother. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Before I get into the Yankees, just want to give you a quick thing. We're heading up to Cooperstown this weekend, and who will we open up with? Your hometown, Franklin Square, baby.
So
it should
really
be fun. Yeah, we played them in district. We split with them. We beat them 1-0, and they knocked us off in the finals, 13-7. It was an insane game.
Really?
We had to play at Rat. 12U. 12U, my coach, my son.
Is that Little League,
World
still Series, on the small field?
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's a big thing for them.
Is Franklin Square traditionally good? I haven't kept up with you.
Yes, they are. Them and Garden City are.
Garden City, of course.
Yes. So, you know, I'm a Limbrook guy, but, you know, I live in Floral Park for 20 years. So
okay.
It's become my second
home. Well, I'd love to say I wish you
I know
well,
you're a Franklin Square guy. I know you're a
Franklin Square guy. Let's go.
Go Seahawks. I got you, brother.
Go Seahawks. Go. We were the Seminoles. Franklin Square Seminoles. I don't know. Well, the Little League was.
The high school team
was the Seahawks. Yeah, Cary was Seahawks.
They had the Seattle Seahawks logo.
They do. Yeah,
it was orange.
Yes, we're orange and black were the colors. I don't know what they are now. Orange and black.
No, it's the same. It's the same.
Yeah, with the same decal. That same Seahawk decal. Yep.
Yep. So Chris, I couldn't agree with you more. Listen, Cam looked great tonight.
Yep.
But Chris, it's the same movie over and over again, Chris. And I've said this to you many times. This team, when the money's on the line, just does not hit good pitching. And even if we make the playoffs, Chris, and it's a big if, okay? Are we going to beat? And this is why you come at me and you yelled at me for saying we're not better than Houston, we're not better than Detroit, because they have good pitching, Chris, and they're going to shut us down. That's all I was saying about that.
I
agree with you 1,000%. They need to call up Spencer Jones now. Stop joking around with these prospects, Cashman, and call them up. Stop it. Seriously. Yeah, I'm sick and tired of it.
What are we talking? What do you mean? Call up the prospects now. How many prospects are on the team?
Dominguez,
they just called up Jason Dominguez.
But
I'm just saying, let who play every day?
Dominguez. They said he was the next phenom. He plays every other day now because he can't even catch a ball now.
Yeah, well, that's what. You wanted to call up the prospect. He wasn't ready. He wasn't polished a defender. But we had to call him up. Had to call him up.
Right. But Spencer Jones, Chris.
And what if Spencer Jones isn't polished enough? I don't know. And then he strikes out, and then we're going to kill him. The player's got to play well, bottom line. Don't give me this. Brian Cashman never calls up the prospects. We're watching the prospects. We're watching Wells. We're watching Volpe. We're watching Dominguez.
Wells is a garbage pail, man.
Yeah, I understand that, but that's the problem. But I'm saying you make it sound I'm not saying that they're good. I'm saying you're making it sound like they never call up the prospects. We're watching the prospects. They're not good enough at the moment, but you make it sound like Spencer Jones, finally call up the prospects and let Spencer Jones do what Spencer Jones does. Well, we did it with Dominguez. We did it with Volpe. They've done it with Wells. What do you want?
Chris, here's the difference between the Astros and the Dodgers. Okay, when they know their prospects aren't good, they get rid of them. Okay, the Yankees hold on to forever, a la Clint Frazier, we talked about this a million times.
Yeah, they didn't hold on to Clint Frazier forever. He hardly played. He got hurt.
Nobody was supposed to be great from the Indians. He's terrible. Same thing with Greg Bird.
Greg Bird was great. He just couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah,
listen, there's problems with development. Don't get me wrong. But we just talk out of both sides of our mouths. You literally just did. They never call up finally call up a prospect for Cashman. Oh, yeah, but they never know when to let go of prospects. You can't have it both ways. That's all I'm saying. I'm pointing out your hypocrisy. The bottom line is you want them to call up the prospects, and then you want them to be good. You want good players. You want the guys to succeed. It's not because they don't call up prospects or because they hold on to them too long or because of this. They haven't succeeded. That's the bottom line. It's not the process. It's not that they're addicted to doing this or doing that. They just haven't succeeded. And that's on them. I'm not saying that they're not void of blame, but you make it sound like if they only did this, they do it all. They just haven't been successful. They call up prospects. They play prospects every day. Anthony Volpe, he plays too much. He plays every single day. Why doesn't Dominguez play every single day? Why can't you give Volpe a day off? Why does Dominguez need a day off? We're just mad because they're not winning. I heard a caller to Keith as I was listening before, and he's like, I just remember how we used to get up for Boston Red Sox games, and I don't get up for the team any. I just don't, because it's 15 years without a championship, and you're jaded, plain and simple. Plain and simple. You are frustrated that they haven't won in 15 years. That's it. And they're in the middle of a losing streak and not playing well. That's it. That's it. That's the reason. There's no other reason. You're pissed off that they haven't won in 15 years. They were in the World Series. Like the guy literally said, I can't remember the last time I got up for a Yankee game. I don't know. Did the World Series? Did you get up for the World Series? That wasn't even a year ago. You didn't get up for the World Series? You didn't get up for the ALDS? ALCS? No? My God, we talk about them. This is why I push back. We talk about them like they're the worst run franchise in sports. They were in the World Series last year. I can't remember the last time I got up for a Yankee game. You have to go back to like the days of the Red Sox and Yankees and Veritek. Do you? Is that how far you have to go? Because I remember waking up on a crisp October morning knowing there was a World Series game coming. But I guess nobody got up for that. I don't know. And the difference between the Dodgers and this, the Dodgers just got swept by the Angels and lost first place. The Astros have lost first place. The Dodgers have lost first place. The Mets and Phillies have both had 5 games lead evaporate. The Tigers were up 12 or 13. It's 5 games over Cleveland. The Cubs had a 6-game lead over Milwaukee. They're so far down you can't see them. The Dodgers had a 5 or 6-game lead over San Diego. They're behind San Diego now. It's been a wacky year. A wacky year with ups and downs for everybody. And that's not an excuse to say I'm happy with the Yankees. If you heard me in the first 10 minutes, I'm pissed off at the Yankees. It's not good enough. And I've been yelling about the manager, too, and the general manager. Everyone's done a crappy job this year. But the idea they can't beat the Tigers because the Tigers have good pitching? How do I know the Tigers are going to hit the Yankee pitching? How do I know the Tigers are ready to go play playoff baseball? You know that for a fact? You think we just watched Houston. You think Houston can't be beat? The Yankees had game 1-1. They were tied in the eighth inning. The Yankees could have easily taken 2 out of 3 from Houston. They went to Devin Williams. Now, if they're going to get in their own way, of course. But like the idea they can't win, look, I'm disappointed, and I'm not telling you they're going to win. I'm not putting any money on the Yankees to win the World Series. I'm not telling you I think they're going to go out there and take it down. I'm just telling you, can they? Yes. Look around the game, right? Stop comparing them to the 1998 Yankees and start comparing them to the Detroit Tigers. And you still might not like that comparison, but it's not the 98 Yankees, my friends. Like, stop bringing up Bernie and Posada and the old Yankee-Red Sox rivalry. Forget all of that nonsense. Forget it all. Look at who they have to compete with right now. Right now. Seattle's on this classic run. I just read a whole article from Jeff Passan about how dangerous Seattle is. They have really good pitching. The lineup's coming through now. Cal Raleigh. The Yankees have beat the absolute doors off the Seattle Mariners every time they played this year. If they get into a series with Seattle, they can't beat Seattle. The most underachieving team in the last 20 years in baseball. They can't beat the Seattle Mariners right now. They traded for Suarez. Suarez has got 1 home run. He's hitting under like 200. They can't beat Seattle. They've owned Seattle. Owned them. Like, both these teams right now, as down as it is, the season's not over. They can still get hot, and looking around the landscape of baseball, tell me who's so much far and away better than them. Because I don't see it. And that's not me going, I feel good about these teams. I'm just saying, like, this is what it is. I'm going to make a dumb analogy here. Like, I don't think I'm very good at spelling, but if I was in a spelling bee with, like, a bunch of kids, I'd be like, hey, maybe I have a chance. Like, it is what it is. The competition is the competition. And this year has been dramatically up and down for everybody. It's going to be who gets in and who plays well while they're in. And I firmly believe both of these teams are talented enough to be the team who gets hot and takes it down. I firmly believe that. Will they? They have given us no signs to believe that they will be that team. But are they good enough? Yes. Yes, they are. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Quick break. Back with your calls next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
All right. 334, McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. About halfway through. I got you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show with CeeLo and my man Fliegelman. 888-808-1019 off of these two miserable baseball teams. The Met with a disastrous gut punch loss. The Yankees with a just not good enough offensive performance. They get the Bellinger home run. That's about it. Early in the game, they had a couple of leadoff guys on. In the first couple innings, unable to come through. Judge still struggling. Ryan did have good stuff. You can't argue it. He did, but there's only so many times you can tip your cap to the starting pitcher. This offense has to be better against top-level starting pitching. And they head to St. Louis. We'll see if Stanton plays in the outfield. It sounds like he will. We'll wonder if Judge is going to get back into the outfield sometime soon. He's throwing now from a distance. They could definitely use that as they got another, you know, bad injury news as last night everyone's screaming at their television for Wells to be pinch hit with Goldschmidt against the left-handed pitcher, and we find out why. Goldschmidt was unavailable with a sore knee. Who knows if it's going to take an IL stint, but they've lost Rosario. They've lost Slater. Now they've lost Goldschmidt. All of their right-handed, you know, pinch hit bats, all of their right-handed hitters are no longer there. The guys they brought in to trade for to bolster the bench, gone, and now Goldschmidt dealing with something. So it is a tough time for the New York Yankees. We'll see how they respond in St. Louis. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Stuart in Brooklyn on the Fan. What's up, Stu?
Hey, Chris. What's one up? Of these nights, and the other song is I'm Only Sleeping.
Someone played I'm Only Sleeping?
The Yankee lineup. Yeah. I'm Only Sleeping. Come on. Yesterday and Today and Revolver.
No, I love the song, yeah.
Uh-huh,
keeping an eye on the world going by my window.
That's what they're doing. Yeah. They're watching time go by their window.
Yep.
And one of these nights, appropriate, yes. But I don't know. But we had two good starts.
You don't know what.
Rodon and Will Warren, and then they can't build off that. And I know Joe Ryan's a good pitcher. Everybody tried to get him at the trade deadline.
Yes.
Most teams tried to get him. But you can't build off two solid wins and then you put up, then you put us to sleep. Everybody went to sleep. I mean, it's not good. You say they're capable of, but let's say, why don't they show us some capability? And there's some culpability. Yeah, and Aaron Boone coming out getting it ejected the other night for the fifth time.
Anything he does right now is blah blah blah. It doesn't matter what he does. If he would scream at someone in the dugout, we would complain that it happened too late. Like there's nothing.
You want to know whether he should have shown that sooner? He should have done that sooner.
That's exactly what I just said.
Exactly right.
There's nothing.
Another
he can
thing,
do.
You know,
there's nothing he can do
like,
to please you right now. And
no,
I understand that. I understand that.
And you know who's sound? It's starting to sound like Aaron Boone.
Mendoza.
Bingo.
Yeah.
He's starting to sound like Boone 2.0.
I know.
He's done with the same old excuse of watching post-game stuff. He's starting to sound like Boone. I'm saying that they're clones.
I understand.
You agree?
I guess, but here's my point. I think every manager in baseball who's losing at the level the Yankees and the Mets are going to sound like him. Go tune into Dave Roberts' postgame right now as the Dodgers got swept by the Angels and have had the fourth worst record in baseball since the 4th of July. And go listen to his postgames and see what he sounds like.
What do you think he sounds like? Boom.
Yeah, because that's what, I mean, like, again, show me a manager who's really good at losing postgames. Show me a manager who stands in front of the mic after losing post games and that you feel good about. Like, it's just, there's nothing you could say, man. They got to play better. There's nothing you could say, nothing you can do. Like, they've got to play. We're not going to be happy with anything that happens right now. Like, last night, the fan, you know, on Yankee Twitter, and that's not always the best reaction, but even the post game was questioning the move to De Los Santos. You got to go to lighter there? Are you telling me you have to go to lighter instead of a pitcher with a 1.57 ERA who's given up a run and who hasn't given up a run in 10 out of his last outings? That's the guy who can't pitch instead of Mark Leiter? I mean, okay. You know why we're questioning it? Because he gave up runs. That's why. If he comes in and has a 1-2-3 inning, ain't no one questioning it. And ain't no one giving Boone credit either. Bottom line. Bottom line. Like, I just saw my guy Neil Keefe, who's in a fantasy league with me. We got to get ready for, I was in the championship game last year. I need to figure that. I need to get over the hump this year and take it down. But, you know, he's big time anti-Boone. He's just he has a Yankee column and stuff. Neil does a good job, although I disagree with him a lot. But he was like, you know, this is a typical thought process. Aaron Boone had one critical decision in these three games, one critical decision, and he went to the wrong pitcher. Typical Boone. And my point to him would be, if De Los Santos got three outs, you would not view that as a critical decision. No Yankee fan who viewed that as a critical decision would look back at it and go, wow, Boone made the right call on that critical decision. We wouldn't even think twice about it. We'd be on to the next moment. Like, it's a critical decision because it failed. That's it. We're mad about it because it failed. And I get it. I get it. But the guy's been good. This is about an offense who only scored one run and had opportunities. That's what last night was about for me. You got to score more runs. Could you have gone Cam Schlittler another inning? Sure. You could. Does that win them the game? You got to score runs. Not going to shut them down forever. Sam in Brooklyn. What's up, Sam?
Hi. I love the show.
Thank you.
When it comes to the Yankees and as I said, the soccer stuff, is there anything that you can pinpoint that this is their problem? Like, we had the bullpen issues before the trade deadline, and we had worse than that. But what is the problem now that you can pinpoint? This is the problem of the Yankees.
The pinpoint one problem that's really costing them. Well, I mean, listen, it's hard not to say Devin Williams, unfortunately. If you look at if you just put in an average reliever instead of Devin Williams in every situation that Devin Williams came into the game, the Yankees are 5 or 6 games better. Easy. Easy. Yankees are at the bare minimum the top wild card. And they're still battling, and they're right there, you know, a game behind Toronto. Maybe even better than that because some of the games were against Toronto. So, like, I don't, but yeah, the starting rotation, the injuries to the starting rotation, hopefully that's figuring itself out. Max Fried needs to be better. I don't really blame the offense all that much. It's got to be better against good starting pitching, but over the course of 162, they have been good enough to win a hell of a lot more games than this. The bullpen has been a disaster. Listen, they found, and of course fundamentals and defense. Like, there's a lot of issues with the team. I would think the main thing right now when I think of the New York Yankees and their failures is they do what bad teams do. They, for the last 2 months, pretty fairly consistently, they do what bad teams do and find ways to lose. Like, there's been a handful of games that I saw a thing. I don't know if you. Like, how much we put into this, but one of these like baseball savant, it wasn't baseball savant, but one of those type of websites put out a luck scale, and the Yankees were by far the least lucky team in baseball this year. They were the least luckiest team in baseball this year. When you talk about offensively hard hit rate with Babbitt and balls put in play batting average, the way they hit the ball, specifically Ben Rice might be the most unlucky hitter in Major League Baseball this year. Take that for what you want. It's delving deep into the weeds with numbers. You might not care about that. It's about success. Totally agree. Like, I heard, was it Mendoza? Yeah, Mendoza in the post game was talking about Lindor and his struggles. And he's like, well, he hit two balls hard. And they were like, yeah, but it's about success. And he's like, oh yeah, Evan was talking about how he had the interview with him. And he said, well, what should I do? Tell him to hit bloopers? Like, you know, you hit the ball hard. That's all you can ask for. And Ben Rice has hit the ball hard as much as any Major League Baseball player this year. And he doesn't have the numbers of any Major League Baseball player this year. Like, his numbers are much worse than they should be. Then you go to Devin Williams and blowing games with four-run leads. Like, if you look at the Yankees, they have been the most unlucky team in baseball. Doesn't make me feel much better. But I think that's they have found ways to lose. In the big spot, Volpe threw the ball in the dirt. They couldn't scoop it. In the big spot, they kicked the, you know, Jason Dominguez can't track down a fly ball that most left fielders can. In a big spot, you get the double play. In the big spot, you get the strikeout. The reliever comes in, makes one bad pitch. Like, they have consistently found ways to do whatever it takes to navigate themselves to a loss. And that's hard to put a finger on because you could look at the starting pitching. No Luis Gil pretty much all year. No Gerrit Cole all year. You lose just as Clark Schmidt was finding himself and damn near throwing no hitters. He goes on the IL. You've got to throw Cam Schlittler in there. You've got Will Warren. You've got Max Fried. Strong. Like, you've kind of overcome that a little bit, but the starting rotation besieged by injuries. An offense that is still struggling with some injuries. And a bullpen that has found ways to blow games you can't imagine that they've blown. Even though some of the numbers are positive in the bullpen and you feel good about the arms, they have blown games that you just can't blow. So, I mean,
what's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day. Radio Day.
It's hard to pinpoint one exact issue, but it's by far the pitching overall. They've given up a ton of runs since middle of June. They've just given up a ton of runs. The offense has its issues. The offense has its, you know, it gets shut down by good pitching, right? It misses too many bats. I think that's all fair, but you look around baseball, a lot of teams do, and the Yankees' offense has been overall very good. And over the course of 162, has been good enough to win a hell of a lot more games than they've won. Let's go to Frankie in the Bronx. What's up, Frankie?
Hey, good morning. Great show.
Thank you, buddy. What's up?
Disappointing Met fan. I was doing the math. There's 42 games left in the season. The Mets are 8 games over 500. At one point, it was like 21-22.
Yep.
In order for them to make the playoffs, which at this point, I don't think they will have to go... out of the 42 games, 26 to 31 games wins to win it. That will put them at between 90 to 91 to 94 games. I don't see that happening. And my question to you, if they don't make the playoff, Steve Cohen, will you fire Mendoza? Because this is unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, look.
And thank you for the call, man.
You got it, Frankie. I don't know about the numbers right now. I mean... St. Louis is 500. You're looking at just Cincinnati, right? You're looking at Cincinnati. I wouldn't worry too much about St. Louis or Arizona or San Francisco who are under 500. Like, you're looking at Cincinnati. Can the Mets, I don't know what number it has to be. Like, you can give me some, you know, theorem that you've come up with or some, you know, code you have come up with. I don't know how many wins it's going to take necessarily. They're a game up on Cincinnati. Cincinnati has played two more games than the Mets. The Cincinnati has two more losses than the Mets. So somehow, over the next month and a half, they have to play better than the Cincinnati Reds. That's it. It comes down to that. That's why I thought anybody rooting for the Phillies, I completely disagree with. You got to be, rooting against the Phillies this series, you had to be pulling for the Reds to beat the Phillies. There's no doubt about it. And unfortunately, they won 2 out of 3 in that series. But that's the bottom line. You have to be better than the Reds. Forget what number, you got to be better than the Cincinnati Reds. So like when you say that, when it's that simple to make the postseason, can the Mets be better than the Reds? Like, of course they can. Like, I don't know how many wins they have to get, but they can be better than the Reds. Like, they've got to find a way to do it, and we'll see if, you know, calling up these young kids. And I got to, you know, I've been talking about the pressure put on them and the idea, like, just give, I got a tweet from someone who constantly hits me up on Twitter. You know, just give me 5 innings and 4 runs. Okay. Like, that's going to be enough. You sure? We sure? It's better than what you've gotten over the last week, but is it good enough? You're going to feel really great about Sproat, or you're going to feel really great about McLean on Saturday. If he gives you five innings and four runs, you'll take it the first outing, but even that can't be continual. You got to do better than that at some point. Bob in Bayside. What's up, Bob?
Chris, before I get to my point about Schwitler, you just talked about the Reds as if they're a bad team. I'm a Yankee
I
fan.
Don't
I don't
about them like they're a bad team. I said no. You got to be better than the Reds.
Yeah, but your tone is like, hey, they're not that good of a team. I don't follow the Reds, but I know one thing. I was watching MLB baseball for a little while. I didn't know this, but they said the Reds have an excellent starting pitching staff, four deep. They're even five deep. Well, anyway, let me move on.
I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying they're the Cincinnati Reds, though. They struggled a lot this year, and they just caught the Mets.
They don't score a lot of runs, but they do have an excellent starting pitching staff. Anyway, on Schwitler, you're missing the point. The point is he's not supposed to take him out at all. Forget who he went to. Have we gotten to the point where a strong 24-year-old kid who's pitching well can't go 95 pitches in this league?
He can, but that's not why. He didn't take him out because he can't go 95. He took him out. Well, it was a grind in the fourth and the fifth, and then you got the top of the order, and he didn't want him to see what's his name again, who had a 10-pitch at bat and roped a double in his last
Brunson.
You don't want him to see him again. He's their best hitter. He's coming up in that inning, and he had a 10-pitch at bat, saw a ton of pitches, and roped a double against them. Like, you want him to come out five innings feeling good about himself instead of getting in trouble, and then I got to go to a reliever. He got a clean inning, rested bullpen, a guy with a 1.56 ERA coming out of the pen, and giving him a different look than the starting pitcher that he just saw a 10-pitch at bat the last time out and roped a double down the line.
Well, he also saw Brunson, so maybe he, you know, he could figure Brunson out.
I typically, when it comes to these things, the more you see a hitter, a batter sees a pitcher, the more likely it is that the bat goes in the favor of the hitter.
In the locker room after the game, gave him a direct question: how did you feel? Did Boone ask you how you felt? Can you go more? I never thought. I said, well, he's not going to throw Boone under the bus. You know what he said? I felt great.
Boone said as much. Boone said I didn't go. Boone said sometimes I'll ask him whatever, but I felt like this was the move. Look, you could have sent him back out there. I'm not saying that would have been – I'm just saying if you would have sent him back out there and he got hit, everyone would be complaining. How can you go to Schlittler again? Like I would give him
a little rope. I mean, all right, never mind. One last thing. You and I have gone back and forth about batting averages, and you sort of lowballed it, you know, to other things like OPS and getting on.
Batting average is important. I don't think it's the be all end all, and I don't think it's the most important stat anymore. Well, but it's not insignificant.
Well, here's my point.
Yes,
John Hammond made the point last week that the top five teams in all of baseball have the top five batting averages, batting average. So, in other words. There is a correlation a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. I'm not saying batting average is insignificant. I just don't think it's the only way to look at a lineup. Like, if you're going to, like, that's this year in particular. Let's go back to last year and the year before and the year before and see if that's the case. This year it happens to be the case. And batting average is not insignificant. No one's saying it is. I'm saying it's not the stat to look at. When I look at a hitter, like if you're going to, like, because you looked at like certain hitters and you go, the guy's got a 860 OPS or an 850 OPS, but I don't care because he's hitting 240. Like, I get it. But that's the only time I'll bring up batting average isn't to dog batting average or to say, look, this guy's hitting 350, but who cares because this number's not as good or that number's not as good. But when people call me up, like you did the last time we spoke, and said, this guy stinks. I don't care about his OPS because he's hitting 250 or 240 or 230. I'll say, I understand that, but that's today's baseball, and I'll take an 850 OPS. Like, I'll take the slug. I'll take the on-base percentage. Like, batting average is important, but it's not the number, the be-all. Like, when I look at a hitter, I don't look at his batting average. I look at his OPS. That's just, I look at his OPS. And not Brunson, Buxton. I knew we were saying the name wrong. Buxton. Byron Buxton, at the top, in the top of the order, got a real good look at him and smoked a double in his last at bat. You could have brought back out Cam Schlittler. You absolutely could have. And if he gave up runs and Brunson and Buxton, as now he's got me saying Brunson, and Buxton hits a 400-foot home run, we would be saying, how the hell could you let him see Buxton? How could you let Buxton see him for a third time? They gave up a run, so it was a failure. He gave up three runs, so it was wrong. If he stuck with Cam Schlittler and Schlittler gave up the runs, we'd be screaming that it was wrong to stick with Cam Schlittler. I had no problem with it. He's a young kid. He battled through the fourth, got through the fifth. We see numbers, and again, I know we're all slaves to numbers. I get it. And we sometimes, you know, should back away and go with our gut. I don't disagree with that. But we all know what it's like seeing a guy the third time. We all know what the numbers are. When you see a pitcher for the third time, we all know it. Ask any hitter if he'd rather see the starting pitcher for a third time, or depending on who it is. If it's Pedro Martinez, okay. But like, do you think, you know, would you rather see a brand new pitcher coming at you with a different arm angle, throwing you a different repertoire, or the same pitcher you just saw and had 10 pitch at bat against and roped a double? Who do you think he'd rather see in that spot to lead off that inning? He didn't want to get in trouble, give up a double to Buxton, and now have to bring in a reliever with a runner on base. And he went to a guy clean. He got ahead of him, and he made a bad pitch, and it was almost a great play from Volpe. It didn't happen. I really didn't mind. Listen, they got to score more runs, and he's got to make good pitches. They got to rely on their bullpen. Again, the guy's got a 1.6 ERA. Like, the idea that if he goes to another reliever, that game is a win is just silly. We talk about it like, if only he goes to Weaver, they win that game. Are you sure? Because I've seen everybody in this bullpen blow games. I've seen everybody in the bullpen. Doval just did it his last time out on Saturday. In his last meaningful spot, Doval blew the game. It took another big home run from Grisham to win that game. He threw the ball away on a double play, easy double play, threw the ball away. He blew the game. He blew the game in his first appearance with the Yankees. But, like, I got to make sure I get to him as quickly as possible. Like, it's just not. They got a hit, and the guys who are on the mound got a pitch. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes it's just the guy didn't come through. Like, De Los Santos has been really good. He didn't pitch well last night. The idea that, oh, if Leiter's in that game, then Boone's not an idiot. Okay, sure. Until Leiter gives up runs, and then we're all screaming about that. Or if he sticks with Schlittler, and then he gives up runs, and we're all screaming about that. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll be back. We'll say good morning, and we'll take you the final hours. We got you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. McMonagle back in the overnight right here on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.